And good morning. It is a bit of a chaotic Friday, the 15th of August. We are here for Peeling Potatoes. The lucky number. Oh, this explains it all, doesn't it, Yanita? It's the 13th episode, of course, of course.
On Friday the 13th.
No, the 15th. How could it go wrong? Or how could
Luckily,
it go
it's
wrong?
Not the 13th, Friday the 13th.
But we have one in September. Do you know that?
No, I did not. Now well, I do.
I think we have to move the peeling potatoes from the Friday to the Thursday. Anyway, we are here today in our virtual studio number 395.1. With us in London is Bruce, who is going to be asked a lot of questions, in part by Lyudmila, who is joining us from the Ukraine. Good morning, Lyudmila. How are you this morning?
Hi, everyone. I am great. Happy to hear all of you.
Great to have you here as well. And down in sunny, cold South Africa.
Sunny, cold South Africa. It is sunny. It's a bit warmer today.
Yes. We have you, Fruit Loop / Yanita. Okay. Yes. So we're talking, hopefully this is a pilot broadcast of a topic that is very, very dominant in a lot of our minds, artificial intelligence. Bruce, you were a university professor at South Bank University in London for a long time, talking about management, strategy, future thinking. You've added wisdom to your bow of subjects, and you spend a lot of time asking different artificial intelligence systems weird and wonderful questions, and they give you weird and wonderful answers. And then we can read about them or hear about them on LinkedIn. And so today we're going to start broaching the subject, and we're just going to jump into the pool, I think, because it is such a huge topic. Where do we start? How do we tackle this? What is your perspective on it? I think if we just sort of all dive into the swimming pool and start swimming, something will come out of it. So, Lyudmila, would you like to open the discussion in some shape, size, or form with a question that you would like to ask Bruce?
I was scared about it.
Don't be scared. You're amongst friends here. It's okay.
Bruce, I would like to ask what was the most impressive for you when you used AI in your investigations?
What was the most exciting?
Exciting was exciting, Lyudmila.
Was it impressive? What impressed you the most?
Most impressive. What was the most impressive aspect of AI when you started in this field, Bruce?
Well, I'll have to go back and look at it. What the initial exercises were that I did on it, with it. But one of the early ones was I asked AI, could it tell me what Shakespearean plays were the most relevant today and to the future? And I thought its analysis and insights were incredible, given the fact that most of the AIs that I used didn't take more than 30 seconds to come up with these answers. It's just incredible what you can get out of it. Okay, there are some limitations and you have to be careful, but I think it's quite extraordinary the amount of coherent information that it can give you on an enormous variety of topics. I would say almost infinite variety of topics.
Why did you choose Shakespeare?
Well, that wasn't the original first exercise I did, but that was the one that came to mind. What I quite like to do with it is to take some of the classic material and literature and get it to reinterpret that for today and for the future.
Yes, especially for the future. How does that work?
I've no idea how AI does it. And it does it in relatively general terms, but it's always a starting point. If you wanted to ask some more details, it can do that.
Were you surprised by the answers, or if going back to the Shakespearean plays? I mean, I presume you know your Shakespeare. Were you surprised by what it came up with, or was it more or less in line with your thinking?
I'm not an expert, but it was in line with what I thought. Well, it was much better than I could do. And it was incredibly well structured. It was put into English. I guess it can use other languages, but it was put into English that was easy to understand. It wasn't journalistically indulgent or academically verbose or anything. It really just focused on answering the question, which is a very useful facility to come across.
Especially if it's better than what we can produce, and I think that is the frightening part of it. We'll come to that one later. Janita, do you want to lob your first question up the African continent?
Yes. So what I would like to know is, where did your love for comparing different AI systems start? Being a different generation or a bit older than we are, if you think to years ago, people were afraid of computers. And they said computers were going to take over the world. And then AI started and people said, don't worry about it. It's going to go away. Now it's not going away. It's just growing. So in your perspective or your generation, how do you interpret this? So how do you feel about the AI? Obviously, we know you love it. But where did your love for comparing different AI systems start?
Well, I think I have to go back a bit, right to the beginning. I remember my mother always used to say, you're always asking questions. And perhaps because of that, or partly because of that, quite early on in my life and career, I got interested in future studies, which, if nobody's ever come across that as a coherent subject, I do recommend that they've just put those two words into Wikipedia. And for a lot of people, even people who do a lot of work on strategy, it opens the door to an enormous amount of new material, which is relevant. Now, I'm not sure how I came across it, but I'm pretty well retired now, and I've been interested in lots of things. And somehow I came across ChatGPT, and I just started playing with it. And I thought it was quite extraordinary, and I have to say, I don't have a lot of athletic hobbies or other hobbies, And so it's almost become a hobby to explore ideas that come up and try to turn the material that I can get out of AI into raising the quality of discussion that we have about a lot of issues. And that ranges from politics to ethics to all sorts of things. Of course, almost nobody takes any notice, but I do think that sooner or later, it really is going to have an incredibly profound effect, incredible effect on all sorts of lives.
So how much time do you spend using AI per day? How much time do you spend on AI?
Well, I think I'm perhaps one of these people who these days, for reasons that I might come out later, but I tend to go to bed early and get up early. And I suppose I must spend a couple of hours in the morning on it before, almost before I start doing anything else, because it's a quiet time. And at the moment, for what it's worth, I should mention this, that there is a quiet time happening, but the builders are in the flat below and they have been producing an unbelievably noisy drilling sound for the last half an hour. It's stopped at the moment, but if it got going again, it would almost make it impossible. I mean, we couldn't hear each other before, and it's quite possible that we could hear too much of the drilling and not hear anything about what I would say. So I apologize in advance if that comes back.
I think they're having their statutory morning coffee break, yeah, morning tea break, as prescribed by some union.
Does that answer your question, Fruit Drops?
Yes.
Nearly.
You raised an interesting comment. Raises the quality of discussion in many fields.
Yep.
Would you care to elaborate on that one, especially when it comes to politics and social issues and the general discussion, public discourse in general?
I should say it can.
Okay.
My impression of so many political discussions, and I got involved in them originally in the 60s, and I got frustrated because they were the same discussions that we were having in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and every decade. And it didn't seem that we were moving forward very much.
Mm.
Now, what AI can do, it can summarize the issues incredibly well, in my view, and enable you to move on from that. So you don't spend as much time or very little time reinventing the wheel or going over new ground. You can focus on making progress and exploring new things.
Yeah. And not having to justify yourself every 5 minutes or fending off an attack that you didn't want.
Well, that's the other very valuable dimension to it.
Mm.
It can take out of the situation partisan politics and prejudicial views of particular individuals.
Mm.
So it can just focus on solving the problem or getting to, hopefully, an agreed objective. I don't want to be particularly controversial, but it is a very, at this time, it was a very interesting exercise. And I don't know whether anybody's doing it, but it doesn't get into the public domain. I haven't come across it. And that is asking the various AIs to outline an agreement on the Ukrainian conflict that would be acceptable to all parties or all stakeholders. Now, I've tried that exercise. It recognizes that it's incredibly difficult and complicated. It can come up, one of them came up spontaneously with a roadmap, and the other one required me to, they prompted me to ask whether they wanted them to produce a roadmap for me. Now, I think that the answers are not, there are obviously limitations to the answers, it's such a big and complicated question, but I felt that it was an incredibly valuable framework which sensible people could use as a way of trying to move forward. We'll see what happens, and I don't want to go into that in too much detail, but I just wanted to use it as an example in principle of how it could be incredibly valuable if it was used in the right way.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this one up. The symbolism is almost spooky. So, Lyudmila, Bruce asked several AI systems to produce a solution to the conflict that your country has been embroiled in for 3 to 4 years. And on 3 years. And this on the day when Putin and Trump are set to meet in Alaska to find a solution. If you want to speak about it, what is your reaction if AI systems could produce a solution that an acceptable solution that human beings cannot do for a multitude of reasons? How do you feel about that as a Ukrainian national talking to us on this rather momentous day?
I think an AI has the opportunity to analyze a lot of things what happened before, and it can't predict a good solution, but from the people depends if it will be implemented or not. And I can say it could be a good solution, but how it be implemented, it depends from people.
That's a brilliant answer, because it can provide the solution, but the actual implementing is still a human decision, and that's where the conflict can, of course, continue or stop, depending.
Yes, it could be a brilliant solution, but how people can use it, if it comes from the people.
But if I can just add it, it can, of course, be incredibly helpful as well on the process of implementation.
Yes.
But because it takes out organizational politics, it's got its own agendas, okay. But even if you put in the Chinese one, the Musk one, and the ChatGPT, they all come up with very similar answers. Of course, I think if I remember rightly, they all come up with a very proactive role for the United Nations and having to demilitarize the whole of the territory and how it was going to be supervised and everything. But it struck me as being basically very sensible, if only it could be done.
Yes, but in this conflict, there are crossing of interests of many countries. And solution can be great for Ukraine or for the whole world, but its implementation depends on the interests of other countries.
I think
more,
that's
more impactful than Ukraine.
I think that's terribly important, and I didn't mention all the stakeholders in the analysis. But what I can't remember. I think the one thing it didn't do in the analysis is it didn't mention the personalities, and it just focused on solving the problem, as if the personalities were not an important part of it. Which I thought was interesting, because, of course, well, in a way, the personalities are what makes the whole situation incredibly difficult and almost and very unpredictable. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that particularly. I just think that you asked the question of how could it be used practically. I've done lots of other exercises. And I've tried to get other people involved in how we could have a more equitable and efficient tax system in the UK. How can we sort out the housing problem and the homeless in the UK? All, in my view, 95% very sensible answers. And the barrier to implementation is the politics, the organizational games, and the personalities, and 95% of that is taken out. Okay, there's a 5% AI has its own agenda, but in general, I found myself in awe of the insightful, good common sense that it came up with.
I have to say, that's a profound statement, Bruce. That is quite a profound snippet of conversation. We need to address that in the future again. Lyudmila, do you have any other questions you would like to ask?
Yes, return to our everyday life. In your opinion, what is the most effective way to blend human wisdom and AI-driven insights?
You have 33 minutes, Bruce.
Well, I was involved in a discussion about there's a website, I think, called Practical Wisdom, and I've been quite interested in wisdom for a long time. And they got a little seminar together, a Zoom seminar, over the theme, can AI be wise? Now, I first of all tried to persuade them that that was a wrong question, and it should be, how can AI help us be wiser? But what, and they didn't accept that. So I gave that question to AI. Can AI be wise? And I put that into a notebook LM discussion. And the result was, all of the AIs seem to agree that it isn't in itself wise, but it can help us be wiser. And if you then ask it practical steps to trying to make the educational system wiser or whatever you want, it comes up with a lot of useful answer, and it cuts out the verbiage. It focuses on the answering the question in a very practical and sensible way, with some limitations. You can't, it's not perfect, but it can, if it's used in the right way, it could be a hell of a powerful way to help people and organizations and societies make progress. Of course, it depends how you define progress, but we won't go into that now.
Oh, we could, well, that would, if you haven't already put that prompt in, Bruce, that would be the next prompt to put in. Yes. Yeah. Define progress.
Yes.
And I'm sure DeepSpeak will come up with a different idea of progress to Grok, to ChatGPT.
No. Just before you finish that, my impression is that they will come up with 80% agreement and 20% possibly disagreement. But we can see. And then one of the things you can do is you can ask an AI system what it thinks of the answers that other AI systems provide.
Mm. It sort of begs the question for me, AI feeds off information, at least at this stage, feeds off information that has been created by humans.
Yes.
So if there's an 80% agreement, 20% disagreement ratio, could one deduce from that basically 80% of the human population is in agreement with each other?
I'm not sure that one can assume that, but I'll put in another complication. I think if you got humans together, you would probably find there was only 50% agreement. And the interesting thing about AI is that it has a much bigger collective catchment area.
Mm.
And that we're all suffering or benefiting from very limited catchment areas, as if somehow or other humans are not basing their views on information that they have received from various sources.
Mm.
And most of the sources, certainly media sources around, are incredibly biased, generally. I mean, our newspapers are incredible.
Oh, yes. World standard.
But it, if you give it the right question, it will come up with the issues for and against it.
Mm. I'm going to leave that one there as well, because that just opens a whole discussion point. Keyword being questions, but I'm going to throw the ball back into Janita's court. Janita, what other questions do you have for?
So I have some wisdom questions, but I'm going to do them later if we have time. But the next question, also AI, do you think that AI will help the newer generation to be more creative, or do you think it will prevent them from using their own imagination?
Of course, it can do both, but it can help people be more creative because it forces people to ask better questions, new questions. And if it's used in the right way, it can help the development of creativity and imagination inside the educational system. I'm not sure that the biggest challenge that all institutions have.
Mm. All institutions are facing, yeah. Oh, I think we've lost him. Bruce, are you with us? Okay. No, I think we've lost. No, that was you.
Yes.
Okay. So this is where I have to. Ah, we have the microphone muted. Okay, that's. We have to. Bruce, are you still with us?
Yes, it's the second time that I've been cut off suddenly. But whether my phone doesn't like me using it for more than 20 minutes, I don't know.
Blame the builders up top.
It's been very quiet. So
if it is used in the right way, it will help creativity. It will ask the it will force people to ask the right questions, or in modern parlance, use the right prompts. And of course, that will have a huge impact on education and institutional learning. That's where we were at, Bruce.
The problem that institutions have is they're generally not very good at adapting to radically new change.
Mm.
And so classically, you'll see a lot of the new innovations coming from outside the existing big institutions.
You mentioned in a different context, in a different discussion, that the university, we quoted the University of Edinburgh as well, that they were going to go through, or all universities were going to go through, a fundamental shift in the next 5 years. Can you briefly paint that picture for us?
Well, I can't do it in very briefly. All I can say is that I did get AI. I did ask it the question, how is AI likely to reshape universities over the next 5 or 10 years? And I think that that exercise is a very good place to start, and it's a much better place to start than me rambling on for half an hour about it. Sorry to cop out, but if you want, universities do three things. They do research. AI is going to be incredibly useful for research. They do teaching / learning, and AI is going to be very, very influential for that. And they do personal development. That is not so much an explicit, that's more of an implicit part of the process, and it's not included in the league tables. But in many ways, it's the most influential. And that it can be, AI can be very useful. There are new AI agents that help you with mentoring, with all sorts of things, which can be very useful if the university can work out how to integrate it into what it's already doing. And of course, there will be plenty of people in the university for all sorts of reasons who won't want anything to do with it.
Mm.
So that isn't helpful.
On a different level. I mean, I know where you're coming from, that because when ChatGPT was first introduced back in 22, I think it was, I was scared because I thought, well, this is the end of my work. And then I did what you did. I started playing with it, and I started learning how to use it, and I have adapted it and incorporated it into my daily work, and both Janita and I are both heavy users of ChatGPT in our processes and in our work. You know, we couldn't be as effective as it is today. So it is really to accept it as a tool and to learn how to use it from a human perspective, and to make things even better than we could by ourselves, and certainly much quicker. And cost-effective.
The new site which somebody suggested to me recently, which I haven't fully explored, which looks fascinating, and I'm just interested to pass it on and get your view on it. It's called Manus. M-A-N-U-S.
Yes.
.ai.
Yes.
And yes. I think that its initial site, classically, is very comprehensive and a bit complicated, which quite often happens.
That was my first impression as well.
And with ChatGPT, it's very simple. You can go straight into it and just put the question that you want. But I think that there is a... Mind you, I could ask ChatGPT how to effectively use the Manus site, which ChatGPT is quite good at helping. It's a sort of verbal version of YouTube, often. There's a lot of YouTube. If you have a problem with something, you can usually go to a YouTube site and help sort it out. Anyway.
Okay, but that's an interesting thought. Ask the main player how the competition works. You can expand that into, oh, this is mind-blowingly expansive. Lidmila, back to you. Another question for Bruce.
How AI can help deepen leadership, quality, and insight?
How can AI help
deepen
leadership?
Okay.
Leadership. Deepen leadership. Oh, don't get me onto leadership. Well, I think that the great thing that AI can do is it can take a lot of the personality issues out of decision making. It can. But other people could use it to reinforce their personality position if they misuse it. Because in a way, AI doesn't have an agenda. It has some sort of implicit agenda, but it has far less of its own agenda than an awful lot of people who pretend to be leaders, where they're more interested in their own personal agenda than purpose. That's the other thing that is critical in leadership, I think. And we've seen it in recent decades, is that if you're driven by a sense of purpose, which there is a collective commitment to, your personality isn't so important. It's the purpose that's important. But in other situations we come across too often, it's the personality who wants to go down in history for some reason or another, rather than really a commitment to the purpose, although sometimes they hijack purposes in order to help their personal profile.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it's all about, much more about values and about how people relate to each other. On that issue, I've explored with AI a couple of other areas. One is, how do you reconcile, how do givers avoid being exploited by takers in a relationship? And that's quite, I found that that is quite an important and difficult area. And it came up with some very useful insights as to how this could be managed more effectively.
I think the ultimate prompt must be from the spirit that I'm taking out of this conversation is, the ultimate prompt must be, how can you develop and maintain curiosity? Because I think it requires a curious mind in order to stimulate AI, in order to, let's put it prosaically, improve humanity. How well, do you... Yeah?
I think I asked it about... it came up with a personality analysis. And I added in something about being insatiably curious.
Mm.
And it then came up with the point about the need to develop guardrails. I mean, there has to be, in a way, some limits to your curiosity. You could have it... you can have it as an intellectual exercise, but a practical exercise. Has to have limitations.
Has to limit it. I can see Anita's eyes beginning to glow here.
You must know what some of them are.
Working with me and my curiosity. Janita, ball back into your court.
I'm back into my court. So I was just thinking about the purpose. And so when I have a class with students, for example, I will ask them a question. And they would type this question into ChatGPT, and I've checked this. I would type my own question into ChatGPT and read the answer. And they would read the exact answer that ChatGPT gives them. So the purpose of the question is to get them to think and to give me their own answer, but now they read something that ChatGPT threw out. What do you think about that? Are they using it in the correct way or...
Okay. Well, you start off with asking them whether they agree with it and why.
And yes.
This is the question that you can quite often ask ChatGPT as well. You've got to force it to think about it, not to just give you... a formalized answer. Let me give you another example, because there are limitations and it shows the limitations. Partly because of this anniversary, this horrific anniversary of Hiroshima, I asked AI systems whether it thought the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan was justified. And would they have recommended it? Now, they all did a very good analysis of the pros and cons of why of the issue. And some of them opted out altogether in whether or not they would have recommended it. They kept on saying, I'm an AI system, I can't get into these sort of things. I don't have a view. But they didn't all do that. And in particular, ChatGPT, I thought, wrote a very, if after being prompted, wrote a very insightful, it was prompt, it wanted me to ask it to write you a letter to President Truman about the issue. And it wrote a very good letter, draft letter. I thought it was very. What I couldn't work out entirely was whether it was being influenced by information in retrospect and whether it was dealing just on information at the time. But it just goes to show that you can it doesn't give you all the answers, but it helps you make progress with asking better questions. And like Shakespeare, which was the best Shakespearean play that provides insights into the future and why, gives you a prompt that they forces it to get beyond the superficial. And in a classroom discussion, of course, if you have 100 people in the class, it's very difficult. And that, if you have 100 people in the class, you tend to end up by lecturing at them rather than engaging with everybody. You can try to do that, but it's much harder. If you have 10 people in the class, then the whole emphasis, in my view, should be on encouraging constructive conversational engagement about the issue, where the teacher learns as much as the student. So it's a, yes, it's a collective exercise.
Which, of course,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. I'm just sort of just transporting this to a different scenario. The ultimate, of course, would be that everybody, and I think it's technically possible now, that everybody could have this kind of discussion in their own language, and it'll be simultaneously translated into each other's language as well. I mean, yes, probably rudimentary, but these systems. I read somewhere that the new AirPods that are being released by Apple will have a simultaneous translation system built into the AirPods. Yeah. So watch this space. Yeah.
The interesting thing, of course, for you in this exercise is that you can get AI to summarize this discussion and then ask it to comment on it or ask it questions that arise from it. So it's only a starting point, but in my view, it's a better starting point than most people have to cope with and start from at the moment.
I mean, the AI as a tool, case in point. So at the close of this conversation, I will have 3 recordings to process, 1 from yesterday and 2 from this morning. And I cannot do that without the help of AI. And I use Notebook LM to produce a transcript, to provide 2 introductions. And then I take those 2 introductions to ChatGPT and merge them into 1. And then it gets published. Yeah. 3 recordings. It'll keep me busy for 90 minutes. Something that I cannot do without the help of AI. And then take that one step further and get it to analyze and ask questions and generate thoughts, etc., etc. Something, though, that we, Janita and I, would like to do as part of our job, to encourage the human discourse, the human thinking.
Yes.
I could safely say I'm at the end of my career.
Whatever a career is.
As we say in French, après moi le déluge. Yeah, after me the floods can arrive. I don't care. Yeah, but I have Janita here, who has a 6-year-old son. We have Lidmila, who has a 13-year-old son. You know, they are going to be very much affected by this. Bruce, we've come to the end of our time on this meeting. As far as I would say, it has been a surprising and interesting discussion.
Yes.
It has whet the appetite for more. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights. And I hope we can repeat this exercise in a few weeks' time.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's a very, very stimulating situation that we're all in, and particularly the next generation.
So we're saying we're doing this better than AI.
I wouldn't. AI is helping us to do it better than we would have done without AI.
Oh, I got him on the spot.
And you can always ask AI what it thinks of. It's your process of feeding all this into AI helps you identify new questions that you want to ask. That's part of the creative process.
It is.
Anyway.
Yes. The day has 24 hours. I could do with another 24. So we always do something, and I'm going to be very horrible to Lidmelia. Lidmelia, you have the last word. And then we stop the recording.
It also was very exciting for me, and I get a lot of thoughts about my son and how he is using AI. And my last thought is that in school, teachers should motivate people, children, not to give the right questions, because they go to the ChatGPT and ask, write me the right question. But they should stimulate, as Anita told, their opinion and investigate their interest, because AI very helpful in this area. You follow your interest and AI is helping you, and how your area of your interest can be helpful in your future life.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a very long last word. Thank you very much. We have to stop here, otherwise we'll be talking for the next week nonstop. I hope that we can meet in this constellation again in a couple of weeks. I certainly would welcome it.
Yes.
Thank you, Bruce in London. Thank you, Lidmelia in the Ukraine. Ukraine. Thank you, Janita in South Africa. It was a brilliant discussion. We'll meet each other again soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.